Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes?
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
Look, this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, I'll keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Kevin, and we're in the final week of a series on encounters. And it's hard to believe that 3 weeks ago was Palm Sunday, and we started these encounters with Jesus entering in this phony false parade. And he encounters that week a group that he had encountered many times that he didn't particularly, well, they didn't necessarily want to receive and hear his message. Let's just say it that way. I almost started to say he didn't particularly love. I do know that he loved them, but they were always confronting him, and he spent time and energy, emotional energy, in the last week of his earthly life to go after this group, and that was the group of Pharisees. And he called them repeatedly, "You hypocrites, you hypocrites, you hypocrites, you hypocrites." And then we move to Easter Sunday, and there's this encounter that Jesus has, and the encounter, it had started before Easter, but it was post-resurrection, right after Easter, and that was Mary Magdalene, a person who we would look at, we would say she was far from God. She had 7 demons cast from her. Jesus includes her, and she is the first person that Jesus speaks to post-resurrection. Pharisees, Mary Magdalene, and then last week we looked at 2 people walking on a road to Damascus, and they're dejected. It's post-resurrection. They think that Jesus is dead and gone, and he shows up to 2 people who are seemingly walking in the wrong direction. And one of them is Cleopas. We don't know who the other person is. And then we get to this week. Matthew is not the highlight of this week, but it is the start of what we're going to look at. Eventually, we're going to get to the key character. Some of your faces tell me right now you've already checked out. You wonder why I always ask, are you listening? It's because some of your faces and your body language are like, it's raining outside, I'm thinking about something else. The second that I see someone start to nod off, I will say, are you listening? Now, I don't want you looking around to try to figure out who that is, but it's really on purpose because I want you just to lock in for just a few minutes on who this person is that these characters of old would still tell us we can encounter today. I still believe it's true. I believe he wants to encounter you today. And so today we're going to get to Paul in just a second, but I want to just get you to think of this encounter. What is the big deal? By the way, it doesn't show up until Matthew chapter 9. So in his own book, he doesn't record this until Matthew 9, but you got to understand this. What is an encounter? It's an unexpected, unplanned meeting. Unexpected, unplanned meeting. Do you think that Matthew on this day, do you think that the already were following you disciples chose that they thought this was going to happen? That's what this scene is trying to portray. It's trying to portray this was so ridiculous. This was so Jesus, what are you doing? That, why? Matthew was hated. Why was he hated? He was a tax collector. A tax collector who was a Jew. He was living under Roman rule, but he was charging Jews and receiving a kickback from the Romans who did not like and seemingly care for the Jews. So he's getting a kickback. He's ripping his own people off. He's getting a kickback from the government who is oppressing his people. The Democrats didn't like Matthew. The Republicans didn't like Matthew. Nobody liked him. I'm not sure Bernie Sanders liked Matthew. Okay, I got y'all now. Now you're with me. Here's what it says in Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. There are three words for saw. Here's the one used in this moment. It wasn't he glanced at him. It wasn't he might have spoken to him. It wasn't he noticed him. Well, he has a red shirt on and jeans. That's not what Jesus is saying. That's not what Matthew is saying. It says he saw him. It meant well beyond recognition. It meant he looked at me and he fully knew me. And as bad a dude as I was, and as many people as hated me, he called me anyway in this encounter. Wow. Well, I want to talk to you about, in just a second, don't show the picture yet, an encounter that we had as a family. Unplanned, unexpected. I have no idea if your kids or your grandkids ever latched on to movies when they were kids, but our kids, both of our kids did this. There was a time when Jazz was very young that she watched the movie Soul Surfer. And she watched it more than once, more than 10 times. She just, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because we like to go to the beach and we like the shore and we like waves and all these things as a family. And they've done it ever since they were little kids. And we go a lot. I don't know what it was, but the movie was a biographical look at the story of Bethany Hamilton. Who's Bethany Hamilton? She was a 13-year-old girl. They were living in Hawaii. Her family was really into surfing. She was on the circuit to become a professional surfer, and she gets attacked by a shark. The attack is so severe that she loses her arm in the attack. And this movie, Soul Surfer, is the true story that looks at her life and her family's journey as they try to figure out what does it mean to have this major attack with something that our child loves. And she eventually overcomes this and becomes a professional surfer again. It's this beautiful story. Now, she's a Christian, so her faith is fully tested through this. Her family's faith is tested through this. Some of you have seen this wonderful movie. So, our daughter watches this movie over and over again, and wouldn't you know, we're in Ocean City, New Jersey. Jazz is probably 7 years old. It is a June day. It is about like this. It was warmer than this, but it was rainy. And, you know, kids are kids. They don't care if it's raining or not. They just want to go in the water. So my mom and my dad and Jazz and myself, four of us, the only crazy people on a pouring rainy day decide we're going out on the beach. We go out on the beach, and for about the first 15, 20 minutes, there is not another soul on the beach. Why would they be? They're probably at the mall or doing something else, even though it's June. And so the four of us are there, and Jazz, of course, is playing in the water. She don't care if the sun's out. She just wants to get in the water and get on her boogie board. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, off to the left, my dad and I notice there's four people. One of the people has a surfboard. And there's a little kid and a lady with a surfboard, and then there's two people, one of which has a camera, which looks more like of a professional nature camera. And we're watching off in the distance. It's several hundred yards down the shore. I'm telling you, not another person on the beach. Normally in June, there'd be, I don't know how many, a lot. Next thing we know, this person with the surfboard, we notice has one arm. And we notice that she takes this little girl out into the water, and this other person with the camera goes and is filming this whole exchange. And they're out there for about 15 or 20 minutes. And my dad can't take it any longer. I know this will shock you, but he's not a very shy person. He just speaks basically to anyone who will look and talk to him. Wonder where I got that from, right? So my dad walks down to the beach, and he walks right over to the cameraman, and he said, "Hey, I'm not trying to make a scene. I know there's nobody else out here. Is that Bethany Hamilton?" And the guy said, "It is." And he said, "Well, my daughter has basically, like, you know, she's a huge fan, even though we've never met her. She's watched her movies. She's read the book. She's done all these things. Is there any way that she could meet her today?" And he said, "Absolutely." He said, "But here's what I want you to do. We're filming for Make-A-Wish." He said, "When we're done this," he said, "I'll say something to Bethany." He said, "We'll walk off the beach. We don't want anybody else to know this, but you can meet her. Here's the picture." So this was Jazz, and she got to hang out for just a little while with Bethany Hamilton. Encounter. I want to just pause in this moment. Who's the last person that you encountered that it impacted your presence? And you might sit here and be like, "Nobody. I don't look at anybody like that. I'm not worried about that." And I would understand that on one level, but there are people that we encounter where it's a little different when you get in their presence. Now, the other day, it was like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I had this picture laying out on the table. It's actually a poster. We had it in Jazz's room for a while. And my son walked in, and he said, "What are you doing with that?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to talk about it in the message on Sunday." He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "How come you never talk about me?" And I said, "Well, I'm using the story of Jazz encountering Bethany Hamilton." He said, "Well, how about a story about me?" And I said, "Well, what's your story?" He said, "You know, people get to encounter me." So here's a picture. Here's a picture of Jeremiah at a game this year where two of his friends encountered him. There we go. I wove both kids in so there'd be no favoritism. But it's not quite the same as Jazz encountering Bethany Hamilton. I would also say, this is a side note, for as many times as my daughter watched Soul Surfer, my son has watched the movie Sandlot probably 200 times. I mean, he just watched it and watched it and watched it. It's just crazy. Encounters. A chance happening. Now, here's what happens in Acts chapter 7, and then we're going to land in Acts chapter 9. This is Stephen, who is a Jesus follower, testifying about his encounter. Here's the words from Acts chapter 7. "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, Stephen, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to the heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' At this, they covered their ears." Picture this. This is some hatred. "This group of people covered their ears and they began yelling at the top of their voices and they rushed him. They dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. We're getting ready to spotlight Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You just heard the words. You just read the words. Watch it happen. Here we go.
Why do you resist Jesus? He is your Savior. The way to everlasting life.
Jesus is dead! And you will go the same way.
Jesus is alive. They tried to kill him, but they failed. He is a true prophet. I'm a Messiah.
What do you know about the prophets? Your prophet put himself above the law. This boy knows nothing.
I know the scriptures.
Really? And you'll know Deuteronomy. Because he sought to entice you away from the Lord, your God. Your hand shall be the first against him, and you shall stone him with stones until he dies.
Obviously, you've picked up on the fact that that's Paul. And Paul wants this group of people to stone Stephen. Acts chapter 9. The most famous encounter in all scripture, probably. Here it is. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest. Hold that slide. I want to read it to you in a different version because some of you are still trying to catch up. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath, and he wanted to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. Right now, in your minds, who's the terrorist? Who's the worst human terrorist you can think of? Some of your minds immediately go to Hitler, an individual who wants to wipe out a race. Paul wants to wipe out a group of people that he believes are blaspheming against God. And he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if found any there who belonged to the way, that's what they were called. Almost like a mocking. Oh, they're on the way. Jesus, by the way, said, "I am the way." And they mockingly call this group of Christians the way. Whether men or women. He didn't just say men. He said men or women. He was going to go after them. He was going to throw them in prison. He might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. Doesn't say anything about a horse. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul," says it twice. Are there other places in scripture where Jesus approaches a person and says their name twice? "Mary, Mary, why do you persecute me?" What are you talking about, Jesus? I'm persecuting the church. I'm persecuting Christians. And Jesus shows up in this moment and gets before Saul and he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Do you know that Acts 26 says that this light was brighter than the noonday sun that overwhelms this moment? I had the opportunity to go to a softball game yesterday, and I was sitting there, and it was about 3 o'clock, and it was 86, and the sun was bright, and I was thinking, because I knew I was going to preach, I can't imagine a light. I've been in heat hotter than 86. I've seen sun brighter than what it was yesterday, but it was pretty bright. It was pretty hot. Can you imagine this moment where this just overwhelming light that we've no idea how to even comprehend shows up? He told King Agrippa this in Acts 26. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus. Wow. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Go up into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard a sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything. It says he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind. You think the three-day thing there is an accident? Do you make a correlation? For 3 days, he was blind, and he did not eat or he did not drink. Do you know that N.T. Wright, the famous theologian, says, to be clear, we paint Saul in a certain way, and we should, but the truth is, Saul has been trained by the best rabbi who historians tell us there ever was, Gamaliel. Saul was probably on this road, headed to do this to these people, but he was probably praying. He was probably reciting prayers that he knew intellectually, but they had taken no root in his heart from a relationship with Jesus or God. He just knew these things, and he's probably reciting them on this road. And this overwhelming light shows up in this moment. Who are some people in history who've had an encounter with God? Here's one. Does anybody know who this is? Kurt Angle. Wow. And most of you probably knew that because of WWF, not because of the fact that he was a real wrestler before that. He was actually an accomplished collegiate, then Olympian wrestler. And then they don't make a bunch of money, so he went in to be a professional wrestler. And he would tell his story in that between the use of drugs and all the different things that he went through, and then eventually painkillers, because when you get into pro wrestling, you wrestle like 300 some nights a year, and it's just expected, and you got to go on TV. And I'm not saying every professional wrestler used drugs, but his story, he would say, I did all these things, I was lost, I looked like I had this amazing great body, this wonderful professional life, but I did have an encounter with Jesus. And his probably looked different than Paul's, and his probably looked different than yours. How about this individual? Do any of you know who this is? That is Clives Staple Lewis. Better known as C.S. Lewis, one of the most incredibly impactful writers, theologians, thinkers of our time, who was, up until a certain point, a complete atheist, so smart, didn't believe in God at all, and now has probably impacted the world in more ways than many, many people. I'm not saying he was Billy Graham, but his writings and his thoughts have impacted people. I had a guy in my former church, and he would tell me this often. He was a really, really smart guy. He loved finances. He was a numbers guy, like a science guy, and he would just struggle with his faith. And he would come and he would tell me this often, like, I just got to see things in order to believe them. And he knew, even in telling me that he had to battle with faith, like, I know it's not just seeing. He would tell me, in my moments of greatest doubt, I would go back and I would read the writings of this man. He said, Kevin, I have every one of his books, and I have read them and read them and read them, and I still read them. In my moments of doubt, while I read scripture, I go read this guy's words. He helps my faith. One more. This is Ayan Hirsi Ali. She moved from Islam to atheism to Christianity. She had a conversion in 2003 in which she said she finally met through scripture and just looking at the world and all that she had been taught that there was something different. There was a different way of life, and Jesus got a hold of her. That's great. These are different people who had encounters. Paul had an encounter. Have you had an encounter like that? And yours may be completely different, and I'm sure it is different. I just wonder, do we still expect people to encounter God, to encounter Jesus? Especially people who are far from him. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 11. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas. Now he's talking to someone he wants to go help Paul. This is Ananias. Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Ananias is just a regular dude. He's not a priest. He's not a prophet. He's not a king. He's not anybody special. And this is what Scripture says. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. I know he's been killing people. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Don't ever underestimate the obedience of one person brought to Christ. Peter ministered to thousands in Jerusalem. Philip saw a great harvest in Samaria. But Ananias was sent by God to one man, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. And his life and his ministry have influenced people and nations ever since. Even secular historians confess Paul's significance in the world of history. Warren Wiersbe said that. There's a saying that goes like this. Are you listening? Every saint has a past. And every sinner has a future. Matthew has an encounter. He has a change in his direction. Paul has an encounter. He has a total change in direction. And God still looked at Paul and considered him his chosen vessel long before anybody else saw anything. Saul met the Savior, and he went from physical light to physical darkness. And he went from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. He went from being the hitman from hell to being the holy man from heaven. God opened the eyes of his heart. I don't know who in here's life would represent Paul. I want to ask you this question before as we get ready to close. I don't know who in here has a person, and I'm going to ask it to you again in just a second. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a team member, a person in your lunch that you have decided, for the most part, they are too far from God. Do you have that person in your brain? Maybe you have persons, plural. I have four written on my paper that this morning, after I got here, I've been thinking, God, I'm not sure. It seems like they're too far from you. We look at things and we can't quite figure it out. And God's looking at it saying, just let me work with this. Let me do something on the canvas of their life. That is what happens. That is what happens with our lives. It's what happened to Matthew. I mean, the disciples are like, what are you doing? You're calling this guy? Who is the person that you would say, I'm afraid they're too far? In fact, truth be told, I've probably given up even praying for them to have an encounter with God. We believe that God had an encounter with Matthew. We believe he had it with Ananias. We believe he had it with Paul. Many of you in here would testify that you've had one. I'm just going to offer you a chance today to pray. Maybe you want to come forward and do this for the person or persons that you might say, the truth is, Kevin, I think I've given up on even praying about them. They're so far, seemingly, from God. Before I ask you to move and allow you to move, let me just pray. Lord, I'm glad that there are people in our lives that we've seen come to faith in you. They've had encounters with you. But the truth is, there's a whole lot of people in our lives. I know, I'm going to speak for me. I'm not chastising anybody in the room that I think I've thought, even recently, they seem too far from you. They don't seem interested in you. They seem to have so much going on in their life that doesn't even require you. Lord, I want to pray about some of these people today. I want to pray for some of these people today because I know this had to be so overwhelmingly confusing to the people around Matthew. It had to be so incredibly ridiculous for the people when Paul would come out and be the one who would impact so many lives. What in the world? I wonder who was praying for Paul. I'm grateful for the encounter I've had with you, but I don't want to give up on believing that you can still encounter other people. So today, Lord, in these next few moments, I don't know who's here and who has names in their brain or names on their lips that they would want to come and kneel and bring them before you and plead their names before you. You already know who they are. That's not what it's about. It's maybe the rekindling of a fire in us that we would want to know passionately that our friends and our families would come to know you and have an encounter with you. Speak to us, Lord, and then speak to those that we're going to usher into your throne room and bring to you in these next few moments.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.